Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We are back. Happy New Year. We are back. Welcome to another crazy edition, 2020. What's the name of the show again? Oh, The Absolute Truth. Right here on Blog Talk Radio.
I think you picked up where you left off the last decade. Go figure.
Of course, basically. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am your host for the most, the King of King himself. The man who always have a plan. The man that will one day, will take over the world. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the defining number one ass-kisser to the Trump Department. The one, the only.
Don't consign me to that subscription. I am Sean Black, and back into the building for the first time in 2020. It's hard to believe.
Yes.
We've already. I want you to think about this. We've been doing this show now in March. It would be 5 years that we've been doing this show. Who would have ever thought that we would have actually stretched this thing out as long as we have? We're now into another decade. Think about that. That's insane.
And that's why I keep around, because I still try to figure it out since last year. Why I gotta keep you around. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
For that history lesson that I don't care about.
Well, of course, you know
you done.
Care.
Oh.
Yeah.
And on the other phone line, I have a lady who had class, but she would still kick your ass if you piss her off. She is the one, the only Lady T.
Hey, y'all. I don't promote the violence, but okay. Happy
she
New Year.
The violence.
I just pictured you sitting there with a couple of peace signs.
Peace.
Flower in the hair. Sunglasses on. Peace, man. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Give Lady T the button. Give Lady T the button. She will press it. 1, 2, 3.
I don't know. Trump is already trying to do that, so I don't know about all that.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the number to call. You know the number to call, 347-989-8402. 347-989-8402. Let's get right into it. So I'd be like, Lady T, it's only January 7th. No, January 6th.
Yeah, right? You can tell he's sober.
Yeah. But it's not even a full week into January or the year of 2020. And already, we have rise of hate crime, a fire in Australia, earthquake in Puerto Rico, Trump launched strikes and airstrikes in Iran. People are trending World War III like it's crazy. Harvey Weinstein has been indicted on quote-unquote sex charges. And Ricky, last night, the Golden Globes dropped some F-bombs. And last but not least, Lady T, I saw Sean Black last week. He finally got back up. So you know this is not a good year so far already, you know. But
oh, boy.
But I want to
gotta come in new, I guess, huh?
I guess so. But Sean Black, last night everybody was talking about the Golden Globes and Ricky Gervais, whoever his name is.
Ricky Gervais. Yes.
And everybody was talking about his monologue, how he was dropping some F bombs on Hollywood. So perfect example. If you win, come up, accept your little award tonight. Come up, accept it. Thank your agent and your God. And F off. No one cares about your views on politics or culture. Everyone was praising it on social media. What is your thoughts about that? Do you think that was the right time to say something like that to the celebrities or actors and actresses?
Well, I think most people that look at these award shows, they look at them. And you can look at it in two ways. You can look at the ones that look at the award shows to get away from the news and get away from all of the other outside stuff that you normally hear about. People look at awards for, oh, this person got an award for this TV show or that movie, et cetera, et cetera. Then you have that time where you have the section of society that is quote unquote woke and figures that if you're going to go and do an award show, was a perfect time to state how you feel about society and certain norms and things that are going on, than to use your time on stage to say something. I don't have an issue with either point, but the one that I would like to say is, we know Ricky Gervais basically said he's not going to be hosting this show again. He knows why. This was his fifth time hosting the Golden Globes. He also knows he's very outspoken and very opinionated. Hollywood does not like that. They like the ratings that it gives, but they don't like the actual the pinpricks that have to go there before you can finally get that relief. And that
remember, with controversy, it creates cash, right? That's what you know.
Exactly.
Right? Controversy.
Yeah. But like I said, the pinpricks that it causes pain. And the pain they don't want based on the fact that it's quote unquote embarrassing to the celebrities. So I look at it as when you see a celebrity roast.
What's pain if he's telling the truth? If he's telling him, go home, go do your drugs, do whatever. Even though
That's the part that I agreed with out of the entirety of his entire monologue. And he was like that pretty much the whole show. The good thing is he is one of those comedians. He's one of the more conscious comedians and actors that are out there. You don't get a lot of that in Hollywood anymore. There are some that are very conscious and outspoken, but a lot of those don't get anywhere near as much airplay or popularity or visibility. He basically took his platform and told everybody to take the awards and shove it where the sun don't shine. Get your awards, because you know they're going to have an after party and they're going to get all these gifts and extravagant stuff for things that they don't even need for the most part.
Have you guys ever seen the Golden Globes prior to this before? Sat down and watched the whole segment before?
I'm not talking about seeing
the highlights when they advertise the controversy after when we're watching it on the news. Have you ever sat down and actually watched it?
No.
I'm not surprised by any of this. This is what they like. This is not the first time that, let's say, for instance, when he said everybody should just come up, accept their award, no politics, or however he worded it. He's being funny. He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
He's being funny because he knows that's what a lot of these Hollywood actors, you don't hear their voices because you're not focused on every single thing that they're doing humanitarian, philanthropy-wise. You're focused on the actor and what movie they're going to be in. Meanwhile, they're working behind the scenes with certain projects. For instance, I think her name is Michelle Williams that actually won an award. She's not for abortion, but she's pro-choice. And so forth. So she's voiced her opinion on that many times. But they use that platform to say, go out and vote, to talk about, let's say for a second with the Me Too movement, to talk about the LGBTQ community and so forth, to talk about women's rights and women's rights to vote. Patricia Arquette, I believe it is, has been voicing her opinion at these awards many times. None of this is anything new. What he said is a joke. And I think we're in a time we really, 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 I'm getting so drained with it. Like, lighten up, MFs. I'm sorry. It's draining. People are too tight with it. There's people that, you know, they made certain jokes, and people in Hollywood look so stiff, like, oh, let me sip some more Moet before I laugh at this joke so I can blame it on the alcohol. Just laugh. You want to laugh.
You know, all the part about this is, like I said before, comedians are used to what a lot of people don't, if they don't look at them, they're called roasts, which a comedian will go in and usually run down whoever they're dedicating something to, et cetera, et cetera. Ricky Gervais does that a lot. Every stand-up show that I've seen that he's done or every show that he has hosted, that's his routine. His
especially every award show. So they know that coming in. Mm-hmm.
Yes. But there are a lot of people that don't feel comfortable and think that because of what he did, it's like, okay, well, we know he's going to say something. Let's go ahead and tune into the show and find out what he's going to say.
Am I the only one that saw that he had, Black on the podium when he was standing up there? He had some liquor I mean, listen, Hollywood, the Hollywood press knew what he was going to do. They're okay with it. I'm okay with it. People need to get over
it. But on the tables, they have bottles of champagne. So
that's normal. That's normal.
Yes.
What host could you possibly see drinking champagne right there while he's telling these jokes? I mean, come on.
Well, he gets the pass with them. Yeah, but I guess he needs to be loose to tell these type of jokes.
It's nothing new. I've seen him do this at all the Golden Globes. His favorite saying is, they won't let me back here next year. They love him. They let him back. They decide who's going to come. A person like Kevin Hart couldn't come up there and do something like that, and it's not because of color that I'm saying that. They just couldn't.
What happened? Kevin Hart had did the same as that jokes. Will he be
just couldn't. He doesn't have the accent. He's not from here. He doesn't have the accent. This foreigner can joke all he wants. So it is what it is. They love Ricky Gervais.
And talking about foreigner, Kato, is there anything you'd like to add before we move on?
Good evening, everybody. How are you?
That was bad. I'm sorry.
Wait a minute, y'all
ain't like my Haitian accent? Come on now.
You know the saddest part about the whole thing is you did a fake Haitian accent, and your nationality is what?
Haitian.
That's crazy. That sounded bad, and you're of Haitian descent.
Oh my goodness! What you want me to say? My father was just like that.
Okay, all right, I will hang up.
All right, let me go on. Happy New Year, everyone. Happy New Year. I got to say this about Ricky Gervais. Ricky Gervais is a very, very controversial person. And, you know, last night in watching the awards, yes, Hot Rod, you should have seen he had a cup of beer. Lady T, you saw he had a couple beer on the podium as he spoke. The Golden Globe Awards is one of the, I call it like the more laissez-le-bon-ton-rouler. That means let it loose. I mean, let it go because you know what? People in there, if you look at the tables, everyone's drinking. Everyone's having a good time. So everyone's going to get on that stage and say whatever, you know, and they're going to let it all out.
And some of them was drunk saying it too.
Yes, they were. They were drunk. Some of them, many of them were drunk. Your kind of award show, Hot Rod. I mean, but that's one thing I like about that award show. Every time I see it gets entertaining. It's more entertaining because you know why? Nobody's stiff. Everyone is letting loose. You know, and go ahead.
To your point, this is like one of the rare award shows they find entertaining. Because to me, overall, some award shows are boring.
Doctors
are boring. It's long, 4 hours of boring. And I cannot sit down and just watch award shows. But talk about awards. Let me tell you guys a quick story before I go to my next hot topic. I called Sean up early today because I was outside my job place, then this car pulled over, honking at me like crazy. And I'm looking at this person like, okay, who the hell are you? I'm assuming this person knows me. The way this person's honking, that they know me. So I'm moving closer to the car, cautious, of course, and it was an Arab guy saying something to me and shook my hand and talking to me. The next thing I heard that he asked me for money, he lost something, blah, blah, blah. Then in the back window, the window rolled down. So I'm backing up like I'm about to get ready to fight or something. But I don't know what's happening. Then I saw the mother and a child, I'm assuming the mother and a child, out there asking me for money and change. And because I'm in a good hot rod mood, I cussed them out to get out of here, and they drove off. But like I told Sean Black, his family asking me for money, number one, they have a driver. And he's asking me for money. I'm like I told Sean Black, he's Arab, whatever. I'm assuming he's Arab. I could be wrong, or Egyptian. But he has a car. I don't have a car. He offered me his ring for money. I don't have a ring. He's wearing a suit. I'm not wearing a suit. So, like I told Sean Black, what's wrong with this picture? who should be asking for money overall? You know. But I'm bringing up the story because with the kidnapping that's going on, with now the airstrike that just happened in Iran, once again, everybody's on high alert of what's happening with the surroundings, you know. Because that's why I say Arab. I'm like, I don't know, this guy might kidnap me. With all this kidnapping going on, the windows rolling down at me. So it's to you, Sean Black, because your president decided to hit the button and go to an airstrike over the weekend. Do you think, why do you think they did this airstrike and killed the Secretary General? And do you think this will lead to a World War III that's trending right now and hot topics?
Well, first of all, the only way that this can really be a world war is if other countries actually join in to help one of the sides. And let's really be honest about this. The U.S. started this as far as the strike that happened. This was something that previous presidents stayed away from. President Obama, both of the Bushes, and Clinton stayed away from this particular option because they figured that the trying to keep the peace and not knowing what Iran was capable of doing as far as retaliation-wise did not outweigh it, – that outweighed the prospect of doing what happened. So,
excuse me, I'm sorry, Sean. I'm sorry, Sean, to cut you off. Sean, excuse me. But didn't Bill Clinton send some to Iran back in 90-something? And Bush did some airstrikes his own?
Yes,
yeah,
and ironically, I think it was the same year that he was impeached.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I think a lot of people look at your statement. No, the reason why this is the way it is like this. When you see president going into these kinds of situations where they have something domestically happening, one of the things that a lot of people look at, and this is an incident that is the expression is calling wag the dog, whereas if something is happening domestically with a president, usually something happens, i.e. trying to start a war or some sort of diversionary tactic to bring the press, the media, and attention off of their own situation and moving it to something else. Now, I'll give you a small example. We remember around 9/11 what happened in New York City. We knew Rudy Giuliani was the mayor. The day before 9/11, in the New York City area, Giuliani was hated by his own city. He was hated by his son. He was going through a divorce because it had been reported that he had cheated on his wife. He was going through a nasty divorce. 9/11 happened. Not saying that this is obviously anything he had any control over. But what ended up happening is 9/11 happened. He had to step into being a mayor, did what he was supposed to do as mayor, and afterwards he's looked at as this great American mayor. He did all of these great things. He just did his job. But when something big happens on the political scale, it can distract from things that were happening prior. And a lot of people don't even remember or even know what had happened prior to 9/11, even in New York City, unless you either lived here or knew about what was going on. Same thing here with President Trump. All of the things that's been going on has already been suggested by a lot of people that one of the things that he's done is starting this kind of potential war with potential casualties, with the ramifications that it has to distract from what's going on with him domestically being impeached and having all of the other things going on. I don't think that's the number one reason, but I'm pretty sure that's a factor involved.
Okay. Lady T?
So I see this in a different way, and I wish people would just get woke. It is a distraction. We know that already. A lot of people called him out on it. He didn't have authority to do this. People are starting to say, okay, he's a dictator now. That's what he's becoming. I'm not going to say too much of what I really want to say. But due to the fact that if you didn't have authority and knowing 33 strategies of war, why would you come into a place such as Iran kill their general, correct? It was their general.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And not have, correct, not have a backup plan where these people are so used to war that, let me tell you, God forbid anything happens to the United States, they're not separating us by whites, blacks, who's gay, who's female, who's kids. People don't care when it comes down to war. A lot of people are not realizing that. I see the memes and things like that. Our soldiers are out there. They're putting themselves out there. You understand what I'm saying? To protect and serve the country. And everybody thinks like this is fun and games until, God forbid, things happen. I've seen Iran say 35 locations they already have that they would target. Then you have our president say, well, we'll target 52. Is this a number game and so forth? These things to me shouldn't even be said out loud. Because if I'm going to go to war with you, Hot Rod, I'm not going to let anybody know I'm going to knock you out. I'm just going to knock you out. So I'm not understanding. No, but I'm not understanding how you don't see, okay, whether it was a bad decision or not. You're not going to, you know, say that out loud to your country. You're supposed to be the stand-up guy. But why now? Why now should we have had killed that general? Why? We know what the why now is. I don't even have to say my answer to that. But, I mean, people, I feel like, just need to wake up. And if this is a constant, like, let's say, pattern with people in government and politics, that this is what we do, we'll create wars, we'll, you know, create disasters to come out looking like the champs, like we saved our country, then that's a really big problem because it's a lot of people that die from things like this.
But to your
remember,
argument,
remember all of the things that this president has done that will make it look in the eyes of the world like it's not this country, it's this administration. Remember the whole thing that happened in Syria?
Yeah.
After all of the things that happened in Syria, the troops were pulled out. After all of the things that happened with fighting alongside of them, after the entire Ukraine-Russian thing was going on, Trump pulled the troops out. And what ended up happening, Russia and the Ukraine went in and just took the place over. So they already have in the eyes of a lot of countries the fact that the U.S. is going to back out and they don't have your back, so to speak. That's the thought process.
Yeah.
Now you have this. Now, mind you, the airstrike that happened in an airport, a public airport. Civilians were killed in this airstrike. And the other thing that a lot of people aren't talking about as well, there was also an Iraqi a person who was connected to the prime minister of Iraq who was also killed in that airstrike. And what people don't realize, if we remember this, Iraq is supposed to be an ally of the United States. So you, for the ideology behind not looking weak, having an opportunity to take out, which we know is a really bad guy, that's not the issue. But to take them out in a public area, in an airport, kill civilians, and also kill someone who was connected to your main ally, one of your main allies in the Middle East, then after saying you were going to be pulling people out, we're going to not start any wars, we're not going to do any of this other stuff, and we have on record years and years ago of civilian Donald Trump jumping all over President Obama for saying for himself, well, you know, watch President Obama try to get reelected by starting a war with Iran. All of the nonsense that he said that President Obama was going to do that did not happen, he ended up doing himself in this particular instance.
Exactly, and that's my point. Is that the strategy when you're being impeached? Let's start war. You get what I'm saying? It's nonsense.
And that's
you know
the
what
reason
they
why it's called wag the dog.
It was just Donald Trump being Donald Trump, who Donald Trump really is. That action was very irresponsible. It was very irresponsible, and what he did was just endanger the lives of Americans over in Iran, because right now you have a crowd of people shouting, death to America. Think about those Americans civilians that are over there. Their lives are in danger because of your way of, I don't know, being a bully or trying to make noise. You know, when a kid is trying to get their parents' attention, they'll throw things and, you know, cause damage and stuff, and the kid and the parent turns around. This is what he's doing, you know, and this what Donald Trump does best.
Okay, to the new caller, I will get to you in a minute, but to Sean Black, Brian Cash just texts us via message that Obama had no authority to kill Bin Laden. Is that true?
I'm not sure.
That is not
fully
true. He got clearance
that,
on his.
But I know that Congress is the only one that can actually vote for war.
To declare war, yes.
Yeah. Now, I don't know as far as just the idea behind an actual tactical strike. I still think that it goes to the president. But if you're looking to do something like that and actually declare war or do something like that, it has to be voted on by Congress.
Okay. All right, so our caller, 314, you're on the air.
You know,
Hold on. Before you start, you better make some valid points. If you don't have any valid points,
I'm
going to
give you a valid point. One reason, the one thing is that the general was not at the airport. He was on a road from the airport. And yes, he deserved to be killed. Well, you know, here's the thing. He's already responsible for killing at least 600 Americans. He's already responsible for helping those that was involved in 9/11.
Not in the United States, in Iraq?
Around the world. He's already responsible for helping those that were involved in 9/11 to have safe passage into Iran. He needs to be. And here's the thing. If you kill American soldiers or American citizens, this country will hunt you down like a rabid dog and kill you. That's what they're supposed to do.
Okay, and they've been killing soldiers. They've been killing soldiers, and that's the point why we're at war with certain countries. So explain a little bit more to me.
That's why I'm happy to live in a kick-butt country that's not going to take something off of Iran. You know, 2 days before this, Iran was in a naval exercise with China and Russia. China and Russia is not going to come to Iran's aid. For what? But like I said before, and yes, the executive and commander-in-chief have the right to protect American lives. Here he is, this general is planning on attacks. By the way, I don't know what that 35 number mean, but for the 52 that Donald Trump put out goes for the 52 hostages that was held in Iran for over a year back in 1979 when you had that peanut farmer as a president.
So he said we have 52 locations. That's what Trump is talking about, not 52 casualties. They said they have 35 locations that they would attack X, Y, and Z. It's a threat. We understand.
And
then Donald,
they're cultural,
right? They
are,
but the 52, you asked me what it stands for.
Hold on.
Let me finish. I'm gonna get out of here. The 52 is for the 52 hostages that Iran had for over a year, American hostages out of Tehran back in 1979. United States does not forget. You guys have a nice night.
Okay, he said 52 locations he's going to attack. That was his response to their 35. That's my point. I'm not talking about 50, what you're talking about. I'm asking you, did you know that? He's talking about locations. He gave a threat back. When they gave a threat, he gave a threat. It has nothing to do with the number.
That's what men with egos do. I'm going to go to Sean's house. No,
but
I'm
that was my point.
House.
Thank you.
The whole approach that the president took was all about not looking weak. We've talked about his temperament for years and years and years about how – just look at the fact that he still talks about how many people were at his inauguration. He still has a sore spot in those instances. And now when you're looking at on the world platform – where things are starting to happen. He's got impeachment in his lap, and he's also right now in the last year of his presidency and going into a reelection bid. He has to look to, one, to his base, but also the rest of the world, that he does not look weak. And if you remember the last time that he was on the world stage with the rest of the world leaders, they laughed at him.
Yes, they
did. And this is what he is trying to erase in the eyes of the world. I am not a weak president. I have done all of these things for the American people. I have done this and this and this. And I think that's where a lot of his motivation is going into what he's doing. And this is very cool from what is going on right now, because what's happening is world, there are a lot of places in the world that are going to be much less safe, because now we know Iran will retaliate at some point. The question is,
they will.
What are they going to retaliate to? What are they going to do and where?
And that's the point that I was making earlier, that we're so focused on, like our caller just explained, what the 52 numbers, when people going to attack you, they're not concerned about the 52 and how they're going to retaliate. They're not concerned about the 52. Trump is not going to think about 52. He's thinking about how is he going to now protect this country. Whether you like him or not, he has a duty now to do even more than he had before, to continue to protect this country. So with the caller saying that, it's not about liking Trump, disliking Trump, what he did. Okay, you did what you did. Now you better have a backup plan to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because from everything, I've watched all the channels, and with, I forgot what his name was, that came out, and, oh, gosh, what's this lady's name? That's Trump's publicist and so forth.
I know who you're talking about.
Kellyanne?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Kellyanne Conway, yes. You know, everybody's backing him up. Great. He did a good thing. Yes, we know that. But how are you going to protect the country now? Let's start thinking about these plans for that and so forth.
But he has no exit plan. He has no exit plan.
He had no entrance plan.
No, he had no exit plan. And can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
Again, here he comes with acting like a media whore. He repeated his – he went on Twitter, as a matter of fact, today – and he tweeted something, writing in all caps, saying like this, that Iran will never have a nuclear weapon.
But see, here's the thing. This is what the nuclear accords were there for, with Russia
mm-hmm.
and China and the U.S. and all of these other countries.
But he withdrew the United States from that deal.
Exactly.
He took the United States out
of
it.
Part of the problem. And the whole agreement with that was that in exchange for what was going on, the United States froze a lot of Iran's money and basically said, you don't make any uranium, no uranium enrichment projects, no nuclear materials to use. And you will have your money, you won't get sanctioned, and we will have this taken care of. And that was the whole point behind the agreements. Trump, for whatever reason, decided to back out of the agreements.
Yes, he did.
Much to the chagrin of the rest of the world. And now you have a lot of things going on. This is like a machinization that's been going on for quite some time. And you're starting to see a lot of countries that wouldn't be publicly saying what they're doing are emboldened now to say what they're going to say and do what they're doing. Look at what's happening with North Korea. After the meeting that the president had with Kim Jong-un, and then a lot of that stuff has fallen apart. And if you remember, just before Christmas, you heard reports coming out of that country that we're going to have a Christmas surprise for the U.S. So a lot of these countries that actually have nuclear weapons are more emboldened now to step up and show the rest of the world that the United States is not the bully that it is being, in their eyes, portrayed as.
Exactly.
So why the United States, for over the last 200 years, always want to be dominant and always be a bully, you know? It's like, why the United States is focused on its own problems? So you're telling me this general killed so-and-so people, but we have KKK, policemen, crazy people that have mass shootings every time. We can't control that. But we go we to can't other countries and try to control that?
Because you know why? It's called whatchamacallit. You want to be
the
world police. You want to be you want to take over things. That's what you want to do. You want to have that control.
It's all about money and power. That's all it's always
been.
What
it's always been that way.
Money and power, because the money and power, you're saying, guys, we will send 3,000 young men and women to go die for, technically speaking, in my opinion, and you may disagree with me, for right now, no reason.
And remember, this is like not more than a year after he said he was going to pull those troops out.
Mm-hmm.
The same criticism Obama got last time when he said we're going to end this whole thing with Iraq and Iran, the whole Iraqi war, which is still going, the bloodiest, longest war that this country had been involved in. We're going to pull those troops out. And a lot of people gave him flack for it because they said it was going to destabilize the area, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And now, because of what
why
the president has done, he's going to throw more troops in.
And you know what?
And
he angered many people because you know what? A lot of people in Iran are very angry about this. You should have seen the funeral. Again, like I said earlier, they was literally chanting death to America. You think there's not going to be a retaliation over there for Americans over there?
We get that all the time, death to America.
No, we do get that all the time. But I'm just saying, think about the American citizens that are there. Now their lives are in danger.
Well, they told them to get out of Iran. They asked them to get out of Iran. So you didn't hear that on the news.
No. But one more thing before I forgot. What's the main thing that Iran has that America wants also? Oil.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Oil. Of course they want oil.
That's one thing people don't realize. Just like Iraq, Iran has oil, and America loves oil. So won't be the first, won't be the last, if we have a war about oil.
So and this is one of the reasons why you hear a lot of candidates that are running for president and even people before were basically saying that the United States and their dependency on oil and fossil fuels is part of the issue, which is why a lot of things are going on right now. Instead of jumping in someone else's war, if the United States was actually taking care of finding wind energy, windmills, that kind of thing, and getting into much more natural solutions for fuel and getting rid of the reliance on foreign oil and foreign fuels and fracking and all of the other things that have been going on worldwide, we wouldn't be having this discussion right now, and they would be in a better place to help not only other people in the world, but also better equipped to help their own people, which we know the United States, in a lot of instances, does a really poor job of doing in a lot of instances.
Okay, you guys sound like some angry Democrats right now all of a sudden, but let's go on to the next one. Talk about anger and hate. And I don't know how to describe this overall, but recently, there was been hate crime in America. But it seems like in Brooklyn, New York, and in general, there's been a rise of hate crime, not just to blacks or Latinos, but I think due to the media portraying, as always, a rise against the Jews. But the hate crime against Jews in Brooklyn alone has risen since last year, since 2 years ago, 40%. And now more and more of these hate crimes are being recorded. Of course, from people phones and cameras. Sean Black, why do you think there's so much quote unquote hate crime towards Jews right now compared to back then?
It's almost starting to look like it did in 1991 at around the time of the Crown Heights riots that happened. It's looking almost like that now in the sense that there is this prevailing.
Excuse me, Sean. I'm sorry, Sean. For the people that don't know, there was a big crime riot in Brooklyn many, many years ago, back in 91, between blacks and Jews over a situation. That's completely different compared to today now. Why? There's so much hate crime towards the Jews.
Yes. No one, thank God, no one has been killed over any of these instances that have been happening and escalating. But at this point, it's getting to that point where we just may see something unfortunate happen. What I think is there's a lot of animosity in a lot of the Brooklyn neighborhoods because of gentrification, which has been a big we've talked about that on this show
really?
Many times. Where
mm-hmm.
there
you think
are
it just
a
has
lot
to do with gentrification?
I'll tell you why. And this is one of the reasons I think why remember there was a stabbing in Newark of a Jewish deli. The people that were there had actually left Brooklyn because they were gentrified out of their own neighborhoods. And they moved to a part of New Jersey that doesn't have a prevailing Jewish community. So they figured that they could move there and start a community there. And there were a lot of Jewish people that had come from New York and certain areas to live there. There are a lot of people in certain parts of Brooklyn, especially in areas that were at one point either predominantly black or were black and Jewish, that because of the way that rent has gone and that the way the gentrification has happened and people moving from other areas into the city, that there is this animosity towards the Jewish community in the fact that in a lot of people's minds, they think that the Jewish community is at fault for why there is gentrification going on. Whether that's a fair assessment or not, that's a different story. But that's mm-hmm. the prevailing ideology behind why that's going on. So what we're seeing now are pockets of neighborhoods that are having, for whatever inane reason, which makes no sense to me, of the Jewish man is walking down the block and he gets hit in the head with a chair. Then he tries to yes. defend himself. He gets beaten up. And then there was another one that was in the street, had her phone taken from her and hit in the face with her phone. Another one pushed down in the street. Another one thrown into a car. I mean, we're hearing almost every day something going on. And the saddest part about this is that every day of Hanukkah, there was at least one attack on a Jewish person in Brooklyn. That is scary. And if you are of the Jewish faith and you figure, I just want to be safe, and you can't necessarily, quote unquote, hide the fact that you're Jewish, especially if you're a Hasidic Jew and you have
right.
the Jewish garb with the hat and the traditional clothing, it's not something that you can, quote unquote, hide under a coat or hide somewhere. That's your faith that you wear outside. You're automatically a victim if that's what's going to happen with people that want to attack you.
Okay. Lenny, what do you think?
I grew up in a neighborhood where it was Jews, Muslims, blacks, Latinos. I don't know. So I'm not aware of where we're getting all these numbers as far as this go because of these random attacks that happened over the holiday. I mean, it's very unfortunate. Thank God no one was killed, but
exactly.
it really needs to stop. It's very, very sad. I don't know if to say it's because of gentrification and so forth because I'm thinking – this has been going on. Are we more aware of gentrification right now, or what's the problem? And while we're not trying to own our own things, if that's the case, if we're having these big problems with that, and then nobody finds
jealousy?
It.
Maybe jealousy?
You're going to be that jealous that you're going to go to jail and none of these Jewish people are going to pay your commissary for you?
But you know, think about the young kids that do most of these quote-unquote hate crimes. Which I don't think is really hate crime. But as young kids, they like to pick on people. Bullying is one thing. Hate crime, I don't see it as a hate crime too much. Because I can see young kids being naive and punch a Jewish guy for the laugh, for the fun of it, you know? Do that
for the
that
fun of
crime?
It,
no.
Peer pressure of it.
Yeah.
They're seeing it on the
that's...
news. They want to do it. It's nonsense. It's really nonsense.
So you think it's basically just like a copycat thing? They saw somebody
yeah, and
do
what
it and everybody
yeah, and that's what
it
sounds like
it
when I was watching all of these things over the Jewish holiday, and I'm like, is people not realizing people want to be extra even more for this Jewish holiday
mm-hmm.
with the nonsense?
Yeah.
It's
before
really,
call,
really
hate
sad.
Crime, I don't think it's a hate crime, though, overall. But if they had stabbed a person or did something horrendous, yes. But pushing a Jewish person, I'm not saying it's right. But like we said, it's a copycat. It's a trending thing. I want to be cool with Sean Black and Kato related to you. Yeah, plus a Jewish person, you know?
Okay. You know what also bothers me about this topic is that people don't realize there's also some racist Jews, and people need to start zoning in on what's going on in these communities and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen racism firsthand between I'm not gonna say, but it was a Jewish person, but whatever the case is, and they actually initiated it. So you know when things keep on happening like this in a certain communities, because there's certain communities where Jews and Blacks and Latinos, they live amongst each other. Even with the Jewish and Muslims, they live amongst each other with no problem.
Yeah.
So I would start zoning into these communities.
Well,
that's what your councilmen are there for.
The other thing I've also stated before is that this is also cyclical, and I've said this many times, where around 9/11, it was perfectly fine to be racist to Muslims or anybody
else
that appeared that they were Muslim, because in the eyes, I remember a comedian basically saying they're the new N-word. So
yeah.
it was quote-unquote looked at as patriotic. Anybody that had a turban, anybody that had that appeared of Muslim faith because of what happened in 9/11, it was quote-unquote
mm-hmm.
patriotic to go ahead and do what
also,
you had to do in the name of patriotism. Then it has happened
also,
with Black folks. It's happened with Jewish folks.
Mm-hmm. But also, Sean, remember when during 9/11 there were also – some fatalities that happened among the Muslims, among the Middle Eastern communities, where we heard reports of Muslims getting shot to death because of who they were.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, you have this kind of stuff happening. For me personally, I could say it's just stupidity. It's dumb. I mean, walking up to somebody and punching them in the face because you see them wearing a yarmulke, what is your problem? What is that proving? Are you proving anything by doing that?
But I think, before I go to the other caller, I think my problem overall, not to attack the Jews or anything like that, is the way the media is covering it, of course, which is not
mm-hmm.
fine. But at the same mm-hmm. time, all the actions that are taking place to help the Jews, yes, we should help one another. But just the other day, there was a big, huge march from Brooklyn to Manhattan for the rights about the hate towards the Jews. Well, about the hate towards the Black folks?
Exactly.
You know,
what has been happening for centuries?
You know, yes, we do. Why do we have to make our own marches for that? Why, you know, the governor did not do a march for the hate crime towards Black people, for Latinos?
I feel it's officials James and these people out there. There's people that do it. It's just not getting
mm-hmm.
covered. Sorry.
Exactly.
But I think that's the main thing. It's not getting covered.
It's
but
not getting covered.
Yesterday march, you got full coverage. Basically, they have the whole ticket thing parade for the march yesterday. That's probably how that works, you know. And synagogues, they get police coverage. They probably do need policing, but what about the Muslim churches? What about the Catholic church? What about the Christian church? The Baptist church?
What
should
about Black churches in the South that are still getting fireballed?
Should they get police coverage too? I'm going to say they should be fair to everyone, not just one close to one race.
I actually had a friend of mine bring that same example that you brought up. When we heard about over the last year or so all of the Black churches that were having shootings.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, there was just one a couple weeks ago where there was a guy that tried to shoot someone in a church, and somebody that was there had actually had a gun and shot the gunman and killed him. The idea was, well, if we see a lot of Black churches or a lot of churches with other minorities or other denominations, they don't seem to get a lot of the same police protection, so to speak. But you see in a lot of the Jewish community, especially on the news, you hear a lot of the discussions and press conferences and coordination with the police to make sure that synagogues are protected, so that neighborhoods are protected. And the argument with the friend of mine that was talking to me was, why don't you see that same level of effort in the Black community or even in the Hispanic community or in the Asian community? So I was like, well, this is kind of the world that it is right now. And I think The thing that I've always admired about the Jewish community is that they stick together no matter what.
Yes.
No
I
matter
get a prop
who,
for that.
What, where, when, and why. They always have each other's back
yep.
as a community.
And Phil the Fishman Fisher, I'm sure you have a lot to say about this. Be my guest. Happy New Year.
Phil.
Happy Hanukkah. All that stuff.
What's
happy,
up, Bobby?
Happy New Year, Phil. How you doing, Phil?
Happy New Year. I'm good. I'm good. Can't complain. You know, as a Jewish person, it's sad
Jew,
to see
Jewish?
What is
no.
going on in this world. Oh, Jesus Christ. Here we go.
You know how, Rod.
You should have known it was coming.
You should have known, Phil.
Yeah, you're right. I should have walked into it. But seriously, it is sad to see what is going on in this world. And, you know, Jewish people, we've always had, like you just said, we've always stuck together and so forth. But the Jewish people, in a little history lesson, they've always been hated around the world, even before World War II. It's always been
okay.
like that.
And
that's a good point you brought
think?
Up, that around the world.
Yeah.
Well, why do you think of that? From your opinion, Jews are so hated.
I couldn't give you why. Is it my fault that a lot of Jewish people, like around the world, the doctors and lawyers and people and other people are jealous of it?
I don't think they're jealous. They're jealous of the reparation. You always hear them say, oh, the Jews got reparation from the Holocaust. So it's a controversy that's still behind the Holocaust that people are so hostile over and so forth.
Oh, there's always going to be controversy about it. Or there's always going to be controversy, but it's been like this for decades, and the sad part is it's not going to go away.
It's like, but my thing is, where does this hate came from in New York City, where it's dominated, you know, Brooklyn, Phil, it's dominated Jews.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, people are being attacked for wearing a hat or for being
yeah.
different. It's like, okay, you can't blame Trump for this one, because this is something that has happened like nonstop. It's mind boggling. And in New York, people are trying to figure out where it came from.
Like I say, it's the hatred's always been there. I mean, people that come here from around the world, whether they're not Jewish or what, there's always going to be the hatred.
Okay.
And I am sure. I mean, Let me finish. Like, how many Muslims come over here? You know, I'm sure a lot of them hate Jewish people. There's Egyptians that hate Jews. My brother almost once got into it with an Egyptian over here because he was talking like an asshole. Because
okay.
he was hating the Jews. The hatred's been around the world, and it goes back decades and decades and decades, even before all of us were born, even before World War II.
Okay.
It's always
so,
been like that.
So I'm going to throw this question to you, Phil, and Sean. From Flycatch, he typed that Islam is more, Black defending Islam when Muhammad called you a black raisin head. It is written in the book of Quran. And also, the hatred of the Jews started when they persecuted the Christian Son of God. So basically, when the Jews killed Jesus, excuse me. Do you think that has something to do with the hatred today? Sean?
It's possible.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Phil.
I mean, it's possible it started from that. I mean, I've heard the term before. So it wouldn't surprise me if some of it started from there. But like I said, it goes back generations and generations and generations.
And I don't think that it's going to change anytime soon, because
mm-hmm.
when you have festering prejudices that are instilled from when you're young and you
mm-hmm.
still hold on to that and then you teach it to someone else, because racism isn't inherited, it's something that's taught. And that's the one thing that is with education and being able to talk to other people and then get different perspectives, you learn things about everyone else's culture, and then you can kind of understand where this is going, where that's going, and why these things happen. But I don't think it's going to change anytime soon when at the highest points of areas of society where most people look at the president and say he's supposed to be the paragon of virtue in a lot of things, when the head person that is the, that's the most important role in the country and in the world doesn't do anything to squelch racist views going around and himself has used racist language, then for a lot of people that think his way, not saying that, that Trump is responsible for what's happening in Brooklyn, but it will embolden other people who do think that way that they should be free enough to say how they feel in whatever prejudices they have towards any other race or creed or religion and act on it. And that's part of the problem with the whole atmosphere that's going on right now. It's so toxic that it doesn't seem like it's going to change anytime soon.
Nope. You're right.
And I just want to touch on a point that Lady T made before, that every religion has its bad apples, and I just want to say what she said is true. There are racist Jews out there. So she was on point with that. Every religion has its bad apples, and our religion is no exception.
Yeah, and that's every race has racism,
true.
Somebody's racist,
yes,
in it. So it's not
course.
Just Jews, of course not. But pertaining to the topic, that's why I said that. So,
well, I just wanted to touch up on it, saying I agreed with what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Kato, anything else you'd like to add on?
All I gotta say is this: stop the hate, people. Come on, let's get it together. Seriously, get it together, everybody.
Okay.
You should run for president just on that.
Oh boy, you know, Kato will go hit that button 1, 2, 3 right away. Click.
Yeah. Man,
and he'd be like, "Oops."
Yes, Kato, what do you say? Get it together. That's it. Just drop the mic and walk off that.
Yeah, get it. No, I'm just saying peace and love to everybody. Come on now. Everybody just got to get it together. There was one time a boss of mine, I'm going to be quick about it. He said this about why he grew up the way he did. He told me this, that his father told him that everybody is an asshole. No matter what race you may be, there's an asshole in everybody. And that's my point.
Of course.
Yeah, Kato. How do you think I take my dumps that night? Through my asshole, duh. But
you are so dirty.
Oh, my
that
goodness.
That mic you're on, dirty.
Oh, my goodness.
But Lady T, last but not least, Harvey Weinstein, so-called indicted today on sex crimes. Are you surprised? Do you care? Are you
I don't think anything's going to happen. He already started paying some women off. This is a totally different story than all these other sex trials. I've never heard pay some off before. You know, let's get rid of some of these girls. Listen, I don't know. Money talks. So I don't know, and I don't know. I don't know. I really don't. I don't even know how to answer this question because I'm just seeing him with his walker and this pretending and the sympathy and the paying the chicks off already. And listen, if he has enough women, as many women, you know, to come testify against him and so forth, I really do not see this going anywhere, to be honest with you. I see maybe a slap on the wrist, 5 years, even though I forgot what they said the minimum was. But I just don't see it.
In prison.
I don't see that.
Well, he will be in jail at some point. It's just a matter of when will the trial actually happen, or is he going to take a plea deal and go to jail to avoid a trial? That's what we got to figure out.
Well, they said it should take at least 2 months. It's going to take. I heard news reports it should take at least 2 months with everything with this. I haven't heard anything of him doing a plea deal. I thought he was off of that already. And he's not going to take it
Whatever happens, we definitely know that this trial will probably be all over television.
Yes,
yeah,
we
definitely.
Will.
And he said he wants, it seems like he even wants to testify in this because he said he wants his voice to be heard and so forth. So,
yes.
Somehow, with all this noise about it, all this lady who stepped up prior in the beginning, his $2 million, shut up. Okay, goodbye. Like, wow, really? Does that defeat the purpose of the beginning?
Some of the ladies, because one of the main women, she's still in the front line. Just today I've seen her protesting outside, you know, the Manhattan court or wherever the case is going to be and so forth. And her and two other women who are also involved with this, they were out there with her and so forth. So I don't think it's all of the women, but I just don't see anything happening with this.
We should also look at this with a grain of salt, and it's something that a lot of people do. Don't take the fact that maybe some of these alleged victims are taking plea deals or taking settlements as a sign of non-guilt.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows what that person went through going forward, what they may have had to go through to get to that point in the first place. So if there's a trial, let it happen. And then we'll go ahead and judge from that.
I'm sorry, guys. Time is up. Phil, BDT, K-Dog,
Sean Black, before you go, Rodney, before we go up, we should go up with a celebration. Who's happy that the New England Patriots lost this weekend?
Yes!
I could knock all you guys out through this phone. Oh, my God. I'm not. That's my team. Y'all need to stop. Woo.
I'm sorry, hon. I did the Jamie Brown split when it happened.
You guys are corny. Oh, my gosh. You guys are probably Jets and Giants fans later.
That's right.
You got that right.
That's right.
Hell, I got a Jets fan in my house that was happy.